that this message will be received in the manner that it ought to.
Yes.
So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for our pastors. And we thank you for blessing this house. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody who's here. You have blessed me with your presence. My title? Celebration time.
Celebration time.
Hallelujah. Look at everybody that's here, man. It's like a family reunion. We got people we haven't seen. Daphne's here. This is kind of cool. Okay. Who was that?
You're live, Pastor.
Oh, I know. They know I'm live. Oh, I know man. I'm live. I want to ask a question before I get this, read this first scripture. If you're sitting in your house one day, and soon, and all of a sudden you're translated to heaven, and you're standing before hundreds of thousands of angels and musicians, and everybody singing and praising God, how are you going to feel? What are you going to do?
Pass out.
You know what? Sometimes I think, like, I might be too much. And see, that's what Sheba was like. She said the word that it used when she saw everything that Solomon had, it said she was overwhelmed to the point of, like, it affected her physically, that she was standing in the presence of Solomon, and he had shown her so much, and God had blessed him so much, that she was, what she heard was not even close to what she was experiencing, okay? And I understand we have a block, and the block is we're in a physical body, we live in a physical world. But if you think a physical person created this world, you're fooling yourself. Okay, someone created this world in a perfect structure for you to live here, and he created your body, even he created your body to heal itself. You know, what they're trying to do is destroy what God already created. He created your body to even heal itself. So everything that God has done has been for us. It's amazing that a scientist I was listening to, because I'm always studying, you guys. I listened to a scientist, and he was talking about if the sun was 100 yards closer to the earth, we'd all burn it. We'd all burn it.
Yeah.
And if it was 100 yards further away, we'd all freeze to death. So it's like, you mean God situated it perfectly in the sky to just give us warmth at the right seasons and everything? So I know what you're in, but you've got to focus your mind that God created me. And you've got to focus your mind that God created me, and I'm in a battle zone where they don't like me, okay? And when I say they, the prince, the ruler of this world does not like you. So you have to understand everything that the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people created is not for you. Even though some of it is very entertaining, some of it, you know, most of what Satan tries to put in front of you is really to destroy you. Amen. If I give you music, you can bet, if I don't like God, I'm not giving you music to entertain you. I'm giving you music for another reason. I'm trying to open a door, or I'm trying to use that music to break through your door so you don't understand that I'm really training you to live against God. Because if every song you sing about talks about love and going to bed and drinking and partying, you're listening to the beat, but the person that made the music knows he's hypnotizing you. So everything here, nothing's for you. Nothing was made for you, okay? Alcohol is not so you can have a celebrated good time, because There's no such thing as vodka in the Bible. You understand? They had a glass of wine, but there's no vodka and, you know, whatever. I forgot the names. That shows I'm saved, because I used to know them all. So, but it's not made for you to survive. Satan is always trying to kill you. Now they say, oh, marijuana is so good for you. It's the CBC pills and blah, blah, blah. And now everybody's like, oh yeah, if you do this, it's good for your health. It'll help your kidneys and your knees. And for all these years, it's been illegal. Why?
Right.
Because it ruins you and it opens your pineal gland and demons can get in when your pineal gland's open. But you don't know that, so I'm just going to make marijuana legal, you know? And so you guys don't understand, this has been a war over you. But this has been a plan of God for you to have that day that I just explained to you. You know what day I'm talking about? The day you're standing before thousands and thousands of angels and you're celebrating and dancing. That is God's ultimate goal for you.
Yes.
And your thing is to put on the full... I didn't get the short degree, but this guy comes up to his little girls. So what are you going to be wearing for Halloween? She said, the full armor of God.
Woo! Yes! Yes! Good answer. Good answer.
I said, ooh, she got some good parents. So, and all that showed was that she had some kingdom leadership in her family that was teaching her opposite of the world. You That's understand? Right. Because, you know, to most people, that looks like a great day. And we all, if you don't know, and I don't want to make nobody cry, it's a horrible day.
Horrible day.
And so I just want us to know that God has something ready for us. The tables are set. We're in the time. The world is bad for a reason, okay? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of people in Germany, and they sent me stuff saying they're getting turned away from restaurants and stores because they can't prove they've been vaccinated. So we're getting into some weird stuff, okay?
Yeah.
And if you think it's happening there and it's not coming here, it is.
You in a minute.
So what I'm saying is God has a bigger plan. He already knew it was coming. He told you it was coming in 2020. It started in 2020. It's still going. And he knows that he has a celebration time ready for you. I can't wait because I want to see your faces when you're standing there and you're going, so this is what the rapture is? And I'm going to go, yep. And I won't be that calm when I say it, okay? So I want us to first of all go to Hebrews chapter 12. And then we're going to, after I look at this, we're going to look at the time that we're living in, okay? Because we're living in a definite time zone, okay? And this time that we're living in, Pastor Ben,
yes,
how much time I got?
You have 50 minutes.
All right. Okay, so are you in Hebrews chapter 13?
No.
I mean 12? See, I'm just making sure y'all listening. Are you in Hebrews chapter 12? Now watch this. Okay, watch this. It says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to a dark gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Now, what was just described there is when God told Moses, I want to marry the people of Israel. I have a covenant for them. And I want to have a wedding ceremony, okay? So he says, go tell the people what I'm commanding, and if they agree to it, I will come and meet them on the third day, okay? So Moses took the commandment back to the people, And they all said, we will do what the Lord has said. Basically, I'll marry you, okay? Mm-hmm. God says, okay, tell the people to wait the first day, the second day, and on the third day, I'm going to come down and marry them, okay? And so on the third day, they're all standing at the base of the mountain, okay? And then, as they're standing there, and the scripture says they're standing under the huppah at the base of the mountain. You know what the huppah is? It's a marriage canopy, right? So they're considering this whole thing was like a marriage canopy, and the people are standing there, and God's going to come down and marry them. So God, when he comes down, that's when all this stuff happens. And then it says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched or that is burning with fire. So when God spoke to marry them, the mountains were billowing with smoke and fire, and the voice of God was thundering like lightning. The earth was shaking. This is a wonderful wedding, isn't it? And they're like, and Moses says, I'm shivering with fear because of, you know, of this wedding. This is the worst wedding ever, right? So God says, like, okay, but this is how they got married. God says, when you come, it's going to be completely different because God wants to marry the church. Now he says, but you have come to Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where you're going. Not the earthly Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men, made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And so, what you're seeing there is that God has a different wedding planned for us. It's a joyful assembly. It's an assembly of us being in the presence of God. And then now, God gives me another symbol to show you what's going to be going on there, okay? And what's going to be going on there is that a woman representing seven, and the church represents how many churches?
Seven.
Seven. A woman representing seven is going to go up to visit with the king. And so when God showed me the whole story of Sheba, and then God said, now go back and look what Sheba means. Sheba means seven. The queen of Sheba is the queen of seven. So that means the queen or this woman representing seven goes up to see the king. Now she begins to have this conversation after he shows her everything. And she says to herself, what I heard was not even close to what you're showing me. I mean, the table settings, the musicians, everything was, and it said the Queen of Sheba was overwhelmed. She just couldn't believe how incredible this king was. And then that's when God said, now go back and look what Sheba means. And I said, seven. I said, she's representing the church? She said, that's what the church is about to experience. You're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be like, the half was not told to me. When I was on earth, they used to talk about heaven, but please. Right? So I'm trying to explain to you what you're about to experience, okay? What you're about to experience, because you really do have to be prepared, I think, kind of for it. When I was, my friend that died in college, Derek Singleton, and then I God had me visit heaven and I saw him, but we were in a field. And then another friend that I led to Christ in the prison ministry, he died, he got shot. And then God told me to do the funeral because I wasn't going to do it because I didn't know if he was still living for Christ. And I didn't want to be standing up there going, oh, he's in heaven, lying. So I said, I'm not going to do it, the Lord. So the Lord gave me a vision, and he's in the same area where Derek was, and there's all these flowers and beautiful things, and Jesus comes up and hugs him, and he says, I don't deserve to be here. And Jesus says, you're here because of me, not because of you. And they walked in, and I said, wow, it's that same area. So I have this dream like three times. So I asked God, why don't I ever see the other parts? Why always, every time you bring me to heaven, is this one? He said, the city is too much. We bring them in here and then escort them to the city, right? So he showed me the city. All I can say is like Vegas times 100, right? Or Vegas times 1,000. You know what I mean? It's like levels and levels and levels, and it's just lights and lights and lights and people and people and people and joy and joy and joy, okay? That part, not Vegas. But I want you guys to know that what God has planned for us is purposeful. He planned a wedding. He planned to pay for his bride. He planned the whole thing. So when this happens, I don't want the body of Christ to be shocked. There's a girl that said she had a dream, and she said half the people that got raptured didn't know what happened. She said when she was in heaven, half the people were like, what happened? What is this? And the other half were dancing, right?
Right.
Yes.
And so it does it. It's not a matter of you have to know about the rapture to go. You have to be living for Jesus to go.
That's right.
There's a whole bunch of people, I'm telling you, I've experienced them with phone calls. Uh-huh. They're not ready, but they know everything about the rapture. Thank you. They know everything about the rapture and are not ready. Might want to wait, because this is a very serious thing. Now, this event is the prime event that God has planned for the people. It's like your son or your daughter is getting married. That means the whole house shuts down.
Yes.
Everything is about the wedding.
Yes.
All you have to do is have a kid that's getting married, and you'll find out. You know, bills get set aside, seconds and mortgages get taken out. Everything's about the wedding, right? It's got to be perfect. And so you have to understand, this is the greatest wedding of all time. And for us to think that God would plan such a thing, and then we get to 2021, and he goes, oh yeah, I forgot. You're getting married. No, this has been planned. This has been a full plan. It's the full excitement of the kingdom of God. The whole Bible is about it. From Genesis to Revelation, the whole Bible is about the trumpet and the going up and the party. Okay? Now, I want to teach you something for those who don't know, and I'm going to teach you for those who do know. I want you to go to Psalms chapter 90, verse 4. Psalms chapter 90. I'll hear the pages stop in a minute. Are you there? As a matter of fact, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, son of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You hear that? Mm-hmm. So, God wants us to 100% know that 1,000 years in God's sight is one day. I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 3 so we can emphasize it again. Verse 8. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So God wants everybody to come to repentance. And what does Satan want? Everybody to ignore repentance. Okay? So for all the people who have accepted Christ, you have done the one thing that God wanted you to do. What does repent mean? Turn. Turn the way you think, turn the way of your actions back to God, and make God your main focus and his relationship, okay?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to show you this. You see this right here? That's 1,000, and this is how you say 1,000 in Hebrew. Aleph, okay? This is a 1. You know what letter that is? Aleph. So the same way you say Aleph is the same way you write Aleph, okay? So you say 1 if it's just a letter, and you write it out as a word, and it's Aleph, and it's 1,000. So in God's understanding, a 1 is always 1,000, okay? And so he set the world in motion for a 6th day, and we are living early morning on the 6th day. Now, the Lord said, you know, me and Pastor Ben, we did an emergency meeting. I'm sitting here, and God's talking to me about tabernacles, and because you guys, I hope you, if you don't understand the feast days, God has his own feast days. One of them is tabernacles, which Jesus Christ was born on tabernacles. Or he was born in the week of tabernacles, because tabernacles last for 7 days, and on the 8th day, they have a really big party, okay? So Jesus was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, okay? And during the Feast of Tabernacles, when he was born on the earth, the angels appeared, and they sang, and all of this stuff was going on when Jesus was born. And he was born in the month, in the week of tabernacles. Another thing, he came to do what? To tabernacle amongst us, okay? One day, we have to go, he wants to bring us up to tabernacle with him. Because
yes.
How many of you guys know when you go to heaven, you're not staying? Because I told somebody that, they were like, what do you mean I'm not staying? You got to read the book. It's your plan. It's God's plan, and it's for you. You got to know that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and that after Jesus takes you back, that he's bringing you back. And some of us were like that, no! Am I going to the same neighborhood? No! But he's bringing you back because he has to rescue Israel, and he has to set up 1,000-year millennium. Then the old earth has to be done away with, and a new earth has to be reestablished, and then that 8th day will be the new beginning, right? So if you don't know God's plan for you, you think we're playing religion, and we're not, and God's been counting years. So how did I start off in this ministry? I wake up January 1st, 2003, and God says, I want you to count every year in the Bible. I'm going to show you how. I'm like, how do you do that? So we started in Genesis chapter 5, and we went, from Adam to Seth, 130 years, and this, and he said, stay on the path. Just stay on the path. We get to the 1948th year, and Abraham's father begins to give birth to his children in the 1948th year. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of strange, because he's the father of the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel came back in existence in 1948. God's like, you're in perfect time. Just keep counting. I'm counting, and Jesus is born 17 days before He's born 17 days before the 4,000th year. So he's born 17 days before you actually get to 4,000, 3,983, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, that's 17 years before. So I keep counting, and I get to 6,000, because I've been in prison telling all the kids that 1948, they were rebirth, and 2018 is going to be it. And God wanted to show me you're a year off, because the 6,000 year ends 2017. And I finished it in 2017. That means we're 4 days past from Genesis to 2017. We're now 4 years past the 6,000th year. That means we're living after the sixth day. You understand? Mm-hmm. We're also living more than 2,000 years after Christ. So that means we're 3 days after Christ and we're 6 days after Adam. Do you guys get that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, God is prophesying in Scripture because he wants you to know about this. Let's go to, Matthew chapter 17. Okay. Now, you guys want to know something really weird? If there was a kid that was born and you said to the kid, when's your birthday? And he says, I was born March 14th. And then you said, oh, that's nice. He said, but my body was born October 4th. Look at her mouth's wide open. She's like, huh? So I'm in my house and the Lord says, if you find out when the head was born, you know when the body was born. When the body is going to be born. Because the church is considered being birthed out of the world. So find out when the head was born, and then you'll know the head and the body is going to have the same birthday. And so, how many of you guys know we're in the week of Tabernacles? We're on the third or fourth day of Tabernacles. I'm not going to get into my story. I'll do that later. But we're in the month of Tabernacles, and we got all of this stuff going on, and we're in the 121st year of 2021. Okay, are you in Matthew chapter 17? Okay, let's get to here. Now I'm there. Look at this. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Just then there appeared before him Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now, God stops me there in that study, and he says, one of them, you can go to a scripture, and it said Moses died. God told Joshua Moses is dead. Now here we are in the time of Jesus, and Moses is standing on the mountain with Elijah. So Moses died, but here he is resurrected standing on the mountain. Then Elijah, what do we know about Elijah? Did Elijah ever die? No. So the Lord showed me, look, two people are being represented on this mountain when they see the glory of God. There's people who have died and have been resurrected and will be in their resurrected body. And there's people who never died. And they're going to be on their resurrected bodies. So both will be represented when? After the sixth day, Jesus took them up. So it has to be after the sixth day. It couldn't happen before the 6,000th year was over. 2017 put us on the other side of the sixth day. So we're early morning on the sixth day, or since Christ, early morning on the third day. Okay? So let's see if God is consistent. Now, here we go. It says, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. why in the world would they bring that up? God never commanded them to build booths, but only one time a year. When are they supposed to build tabernacles? During the Feast of Tabernacles. So he's doing something to let us know this happened during the Feast of Tabernacles. What happened during the Feast of Tabernacles? Two different people representing God standing in the glory of Jesus Christ on a hill. One died and resurrected, the other never died and resurrected. So that takes you back to Thessalonians. Some will be taken up, those who have died will be taken up first, and then those who will be still walking around will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Okay? So, rather you know about it or not, rather you get up there and go, what happened? I was standing in line at Target. whatever happens, because you were living in Christ, you're not going to stop God's plan. That's why I don't mind people like, I don't want to know about the rapture. It doesn't matter. We'll talk about it. I'll explain it to you on the way up. It doesn't matter. I'm not in an argument with you over the rapture. I'm in an argument with you over living for Christ.
Yeah.
And my problem is that you don't understand that this is the plan. Because you think the plan is going to have a reset, and Trump's going to be president, and everything's going to get back to normal, and we're just going to have a wonderful time. So you ignore the book of Revelation completely that says that everyone will worship the beast, and he will force everyone to have 666 on their head and in their forehead. I've done the scientific studies. I was in there doing a scientific study. Do you watch? He's like, what are you watching? I was watching a thing on nanotechnology. And
yeah,
is that scary?
That's scary.
If you haven't seen, and I can recommend it, the new Bond movie, if you haven't seen it, you need to watch it, because they're telling you what they're doing. If they're telling you what they're doing. That thing, it like they dropped like a million people one day from one location. Like, okay, we're done with them. Bam! So, we're not going to get into that, because that might, you know, the other ones are good, huh?
Yeah, but we're going to upload it.
So. Ooh, child. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Okay, so. Because I know, you know, sometimes you're talking and you say something, you go, ooh, I'm not allowed to say that. Mm. It's crazy. Okay. So, this is what's going to happen. Now, let's go to John chapter 1. Let's go to John chapter 1. Watch this. You're in the Gospel of John. Chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 2. Here it is. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. He said, dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. His mother said to the servant, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six water pots, okay? The kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, and they were holding 20 to 30 gallons of water. Now, when I did the study, and the pots that they had there were for ceremonial washing after a woman has birth. What are they doing at a wedding? They weren't, you know what I mean? These are these pots they build, and they put water in them so that they can. These were ceremonial pots for. So the scripture's trying to tell you, this wedding, a birth takes place.
Yeah. Wow.
So then it gives you the 120, which is the year of judgment. And then it gives you 180, which is a whole nother other thing that's talking about rapture. So it's telling you this, talking about on the third day. Now, if Jesus Christ has been gone 2,000 years, and that 2,000 was ended in 2017, and we're on 4 days after that, that means we're early morning on the third day. So rather you're talking about the sixth day on the mountain seeing God in his glory, or the third day having a wedding and Jesus is there making the wine. Either way, he's talking about the same event,
yes,
the same marriage.
Yes.
Because he's always talking about the same thing in the whole Bible. Mm-hmm. I guarantee. James was here from San Diego. Minister James was here from San Diego. And he said he had never heard that the first Adam was put to sleep and pierced in his side. And then God made his bride out of what came in his side. He said, I didn't know that there was a second Adam that was pierced in his side. And what came out of his side produces his bride. So the second Adam is who?
Jesus.
First Adam was the first Adam. And the scripture says there is a last Adam, which is called Jesus. He will die before he sins. He will be pierced in the side. What comes out of his side, the blood and the water, is the reason you're born again, your baptism and the blood covenant.
Yes.
So you are the bride that is being produced to for what purpose?
Marriage.
So that God can take you to Adam,
yes,
for the marriage. Now understand, God took Eve to Adam. Adam didn't come and go get understand? So you're not going to be waiting here for Jesus to come back. If you're part of the church and you wait for Jesus to return, you read the wrong book. Okay? You're waiting for Jesus to come down to a cloud and call you up.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
So we have to know our plan, because you're in the middle of a war. You don't understand you're in the middle of a war. You're in the middle of a war. Satan wants you and God wants you.
Yes.
And Satan is trying to give you everything that he thinks will keep you on his side, okay? Mm-hmm. When we were studying the pineal gland, the guy who invented the first nightclub made it for the purpose of opening pineal glands. He was a Satanist. And the blinking lights helps also with the drumming of music to open a person's pineal gland, plus the alcohol. You can have a whole atmosphere of open pineal glands for demons to enter into in a club atmosphere, because this guy created the lighting system to be blinking to open the pineal gland, the alcohol to be served to open the pineal gland. So, and we think, oh, they invented a nightclub so we can have fun. And they're like, no, we're just setting you up so you can open that pineal gland, get these demons in there, and we can get some activity going. So everything is made to destroy you, and God is like, I made you so that you would repent, turn to me, because I have this big party and celebration and wedding plan for you, and I want you to be a part of it, okay? And so this whole thing has been set up by God. I want to go to, Isaiah 66, okay? Then we'll go to Chronicles. We're in the month of Tabernacles. This is the month that Jesus was born. You can go through the book of Luke, and it'll show you that Jesus was born during Tabernacles. It'll tell you when Elizabeth got pregnant, Mary went and visited Elizabeth, how long she stayed. It tells you the month that Elizabeth got pregnant, so you know how many months. And it shows you Mary went and visited, and she stayed that amount of time. Then she went back home, and then Elizabeth had her child around Passover. And then she went back home, and then she later had her child during the month of Tabernacles. And so Jesus was born during the month of Tabernacles. So the God who was above came down to tabernacle amongst us. And so, in the month of Tabernacles, during the millennium, the 1,000 years, we have one month that everybody has to go celebrate and party. One feast in the millennium, in the 1,000 millennium, one feast for 1,000 years that everybody has to go to Israel and everybody has to celebrate. What month is that? What day is that? The Feast of Tabernacles. So God's like, you go celebrate my son's birth for 1,000 years. And so God has it as a rule in the millennium that everybody has. Now, if the head is born in Tabernacles and the body is born in Pentecost, isn't that kind of strange? So, Colossians 1:8 tells us that he is the head of the church. Okay? Don't go there, but I want you to know Colossians 1, chapter 18, tells us that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. Okay? Here we go. You in Isaiah 66?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here we go. It says here in verse 7, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains came upon her, she delivered a son. All right, I don't know anybody in here who's, anybody ever had a child in here that you gave birth in complete comfort and ease? And then after the baby was born, you went, ouch. Okay, that would be odd, right? This is why this scripture is written like this. It's trying to tell you something. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains came upon her, she delivered a son. Who's the son? The church. We'll go to Revelation in chapter 12 and you'll see that a son is going to be born out of the world. And the mother of that son is who? The nation of Israel.
Yes.
So when is Israel going to actually go through her birthing pains?
During
the tribulation. So here it is. It says, before the pains came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has ever heard of such a thing? I love that. Who has ever seen such a thing? Two question marks. Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her own children. So after she goes in labor, she's going to give birth to her own children. Wait a minute. Then who's the first son? That first son being born is the church.
Yes.
After the tribulation, many Jews are going to get saved because they're going to say Jesus Christ is Messiah. And then they're going to begin to birth, Israel's going to be able to begin to birth her own children. But before she goes in, before Israel sees any pain, before she even knows about the tribulation or who the Antichrist is or get a temple rebuilt, before all of that happens, she's going to give birth to a son with no pain. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Okay? But God has planned it. Now, in Leviticus, it says once a Jewish woman gives birth to a son, she's unclean for 7 days. So that means for 7 years of tribulation, Israel is unclean. Until when? Until the full 7 days is over, Christ comes back and he cleanses her.
Yeah.
Okay? So the whole Bible is really telling the same story. Okay? Because if you got Leah, she has 7 children, she's the first one to get married. Then he says, oh, and I'll marry the next one after 7 years. You're like, wait a minute, this sounds like the same story as the tribulation. And then you go to, there's 7 churches that are going to be raptured in chapter 4. And the 7 churches go up to heaven, and the 7 lampstands are in heaven. And then you go, oh, by the way, a queen called 7 goes to visit the king and is crazy overwhelmed about what she sees in the kingdom. Oh, by the way, her name is 7 too, Sheba. And so the Bible's like, I'm going to keep telling you the same story until you get it.
Yes.
Okay? Until you understand that I'm about to bring you here. And this is not like the wedding that was before. This is a celebration.
Yes.
Of all the children of the one who came out of the ground the first time.
10 minutes.
Okay. Hallelujah. Let me choose between what scripture I'm going to read. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Try not to scare the heebie-jeebies out of you. I don't ever know what the heebie-jeebies was. Let's go remember my mother's full name. She was like, scared. I'm like, not the heebie-jeebies. You scared the heebie-jeebies. Huh? I don't know. Okay. All right, here you are. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Right? Watch this. When all of the work Solomon had done for the temple of the Lord was finished, he brought in the things that his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, the furnishing, and he placed them in the treasury of God's temple. Now, let me explain something to you. Jesus says, I'm going to my father's house, and in my father's house are many mansions. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Okay? Now, in Jewish culture, in the Tarbut Leizrael, you don't get married till you finish building the place for your bride to come. When it's finished, let your father know it's finished, then he'll say it's time for the wedding. Okay? And so here it declares that Solomon had finished. You see that? It says, when the work of Solomon had done for the temple of the Lord was finished, he brought in the things of his father David and dedicated, and the silver, the gold, and he placed them in the treasury in God's temple. Verse 2. Then Solomon summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelite families to bring up the ark of the Lord's covenant from Zion, the city of David. And all the men of Israel came together to the king at the time of the festival of the seventh month. What festival is that? They're about to throw a party because he just finished the building and he's about to have a party in the seventh month. What celebrations happen in the seventh month? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles is the only one you party on. So right there he's telling you what? Solomon, that king, let me tell you something. Solomon had how many wives? 400. That's a dude. That's like, dude, you're crazy. Okay, and then it tells you, and it says, all princesses, they were all princes from every nation. So I was like, well, how's that about you, Jesus? He said, my bride is going to consist of royalty from all nations of people. And he says, Solomon was just telling my story, but he was doing it in sin, but it's still my book and it's my story. My brides will be Asian, black, white, Latino, whatever, right? They will be from every nation. So he says, Solomon is just telling my story. Here's Solomon finished building, and it's time to party in the seventh month. When's the seventh month? Tabernacles. What month are you in? Tabernacles. So,
amen.
Let me go down to verse 11. It said, the priest then withdrew from the holy place. All the priests who were there had consecrated themselves regardless of their division. All of the Levites were musicians. Asaph, Haman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives stood on the east side of the altar dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests surrounding trumpets. You hear this? The trumpeters and the singers joined in unison with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by the trumpet, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voice in praise to the Lord and sang. When? In the seventh month. In the feast of festival in the seventh month. You're not partying on Rosh Hashanah. You're not partying on Yom Kippur because it's a time of fasting. You're only partying when? On Tabernacles. So this whole setup, I've just finished the house. It's time. It's time for the celebration. So the whole Bible is trying to tell you the same story. You're getting married. As soon as you said, Jesus, I do. As soon as you said, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. You became a part of the wedding plan. Okay? And you're not a bridesmaid. You are it. You understand? So the whole thing is being set up. Now, here's the crazy part.
3 minutes passed.
No, 10 minutes. Less than 3 minutes. If Israel's calendar had not been moved because of the leap year, and they do this thing that God doesn't do, Tabernacles would have been over, okay? Matter of fact, Israel celebrated Tabernacles in September, but God don't switch his calendars. So now Tabernacles is over October 30th, 31st. Do you know what they call the Feast of Tabernacles in Israel? The Feast of the Goyim. What's Goyim? The Gentiles. They call it the Feast of Nations. They celebrate the Feast of Nations for 8 days. They don't call it Tabernacles. They call it the Feast of the Nations. It's time for the nations to party. What does Psalms 117 say? All of you Gentiles, praise ye the Lord. Because I'm dividing the waters and bringing you through. And so, I'm just saying, there's some strange things going on. And I want to talk to God when I get there. So I'm in the kitchen and I'm cooking, and you guys have heard this. I love that baby. Don't you ever take that baby out. Because Pastor Jones said, if a baby ain't crying, the church is dying.
That's true.
And I believe that's my pastor.
Amen. I believe that.
You ain't got nobody in there young enough to have a baby. You need to close the church. All right. So anyway, let me get back to my steak. Okay, so I'm in the kitchen, and I'm cooking, and then I had ordered Gray, my best buddy, because if you want to go witnessing, you take Gray.
Ooh, yes, Lord.
He'll talk to anybody. He'll pray to anybody.
Everybody.
Okay, so Gray hit me to the Cologne game, and I'm going to hit him to the watch game, right? And so we've been hanging out, we've been talking, and so I ordered Gray a watch. I get the thing, and it says, your watch should be there between the 11th and the 22nd. Okay. But on the 6th, I'm cooking, and the Lord says to me, the watch is already here. I ignored it. I said, okay. Then I'm thinking to myself, you know. Well, he says, if it's here, will you believe what I just told you? Because what he just told me was, you're not going to celebrate your birthday here this year. And I said, okay. He said, now if the watch is here, will you believe what I just told you? I said, yeah. I still didn't go check. I stayed there. I know it's not here because they always send it late. It comes from all the way overseas, right? It'll probably get here like the 20th or something like that. I go, I'm going to take my son to school. I go, I look in the box, there's the watch. I go, really? So now I'm driving to pick Israel up, and I'm all excited, like, my birthday's on the 26th. During the Feast of Tabernacles. On the 5th day of Tabernacles is my birthday. I'm like, okay, Lord, can I tell the people or shouldn't I? He said, if you can or you can't, it won't matter. It won't change a thing. I was like, okay. Now, let me tell you guys. I'm a Bible guy. I don't do this. I don't go, you know, I was even doing this last night, and, you know, vision came to me, and the Lord said. Even 2 weeks ago, I was telling you guys, stop saying the Lord says. Because if you say the Lord says and he ain't said it, that's not good. So now here I am standing here going, I'm like, you're a geek. Why you should just not said anything? But I was thinking, the only reason I wouldn't say anything is because I'm afraid that I'll lose people if it don't happen. And God's like, you in a business or you running a church or you in a business? I was like, I'm not in this for business, and I'm not in this for money. I'm not in this for business. Me and Pastor Ben did it almost flat broke for 17
years. A lot of years,
dude. I would call Pastor Ben and go, you got any money for the church? You got any money for the church, Ben? He goes, we got a few. I said, how much you got? And I go, well, we got. And then, we'll get, we'll put that toward the work, and we'll sell something in the back, yeah, and we'll have the money for it. You know, we was like that, and we was happy. You know what I mean? What this whole thing that God did
God did.
The YouTube and all that, that's a whole new thing for me and Pastor Ben.
God did.
I ain't asked Pastor Ben for money for quite a while. Like, we need help with the rent. What can you and your family do? And so, I'm saying this, look. I told you because God said it to me, and I wanted you to be as excited as I am. That it falls in tabernacles, I wasn't even thinking about that when God told me. Then Raul Dominguez sent me the message. I called you to my house, Pastor Ben. Mm-hmm. I said, God gave me an emergency message.
Oh, yeah.
I said, the Lord said, the child is going to be born on the same day as the head, or else it would be a weird thing. So find out when the child was born and you'll know when the body's going to be born. And then I looked at it and said, Jesus was born at the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay. Well, your birthday just happens to fall on the fifth day of Tabernacles, on the fourth or fifth day. So now I got to wait and see how many. You know what I mean? I hate it. I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. Because now it's like, because we went through 2010.
Oh, my God, yes.
We went through a lot because I'm always going by the scripture to say this is where we are in biblical history. This is when it might happen. This is where we are in biblical history. This is when it might happen. But never have I been like the Lord told me. So anyway, I'm there. And I don't plan on having, I don't think we'll have a Bible study on Wednesday night because my birthday is Tuesday. And if I see you above the cloud, don't ask me what happened. You should know what happened. Okay? And it's not going to change a thing. A wedding has been planned for God's son. And it's going to happen. And we're in the perfect time and year for it to happen. So my emphasis to you is you've got to live for Christ. Because rather it happens when Pastor Sandy said, or rather it happens later on in 2021. We don't have 2022 to talk about rapture.
That's
I want you guys
truth.
To know that.
That's true.
There's no prophecy in the Bible that says rapture is going to happen in after 2021. Mm-hmm. So I want you to know, either way, you're on short time.
Yes.
So we can't play church. Drea's talking about a friend like, oh, I real wish that I would, you know, let Jesus shine in my life the way you do. All of us should have Jesus shining in our life. None of us should be ashamed of Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Unless you're trying to blend in. Okay? So, live for Christ. This thing is coming. I don't think I'll be here. Because of the way it happened, I don't think I'll be here. Last week, I was trying to back out. I was like, well, you know, Lord, my spiritual birthday is January 5th. Maybe, Lord, you were talking about. And God stopped me. He's like, you know that's not what I meant. And I was like, okay. So I just stopped. So I don't know when it's happening. No one knows the day and the hour. Because Tuesday in Israel will be some other day here. Because they're 11 or 12 hours ahead of us. But I'm just saying, the wedding's planned. 2021 is the year. If it's during Tabernacles, we get born in the same month that Jesus was born. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, can I read this, Pastor Ben?
Yes.
It says, praise report. Watch this. Check this out. This is how big Pastor Ben is. It says, would you also kindly tell Pastor Sandy that because Pastor Oliver in Pakistan got so stirred up by the teaching and the urgency of the hour, the Lord steered him. Last week, we gave an invitation to a local Hindu community we put together a youth night and invited over 200 Hindu youth. 120 accepted Christ and fell to the ground weeping and repenting. I would love the opportunity to talk to Pastor Sandy and tell him firsthand how the Lord is using him in teachings in Pakistan. How did you get in Pakistan, Pastor Ben? I live in Vancouver, British Columbia, Elizabeth McKinney. Praise God.